Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's 30-minute episode, I'm Talking, Are You Listening?, a terrific exercise for better communication, is an absolute must for anyone who has ever gotten stuck in a conversation about something significant, which is likely to become volatile. But first things first, if you have a question or a comment, dial 1 on your phone at any point to join the conversation. As I always say, I welcome callers in. I welcome conversation. It always makes things more lively. So please don't be shy. And I think because this is just me tonight doing a tutorial, I will just take questions as they come. In any event, I'm sure everyone listening everybody has experienced conversations, I call them conversations in quote, which are marked by a lot of reactivity, defensiveness, triggering, where everyone is getting very hot behind the collar, a lack of listening, misunderstandings, and a general sense of standoffs, which lead to dread and avoidance. It's unfortunately more commonplace than most people would like to acknowledge. It happens a lot in close relationships. I see it all the time in my work with couples at the Couple Center, and They're very discouraging. People feel very helpless, and they don't know what to do in these kinds of conversations. So the net effect is that it tends to leave the problem unsolved and people very unsatisfied. So you've probably experienced this at one point or another. And because of this, and because I've seen it with so much frequency in my work, I thought it would be a good idea to do a little tutorial, just you and me by ourselves, me teaching you an exercise, which is kind of a trade secret. It's something that I teach to couples, and I encourage couples to practice in the room, and then couples do on their own, and anybody can use it at any point in any kind of relationship. That's what's really nice about it. You don't have to be married. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about something that's a very understandably loaded subject. If you'd like to lower the possibility of reactivity and amp up listening, this is a very good exercise to use. I call it the Reflective Listening Turn-Taking Communication Exercise for Managing Conflict. Long name, but what it is an exercise that Harville Hendricks, who's a big shot in the psychotherapy world, developed. He developed this exercise, which I've adapted for couples who struggle with a lot of reactivity in their communication, when one thing sort of leads to another and things ramp up very quickly. It's a great tool to use to keep things calm and reasonable when you and a partner are trying to discuss something that you know is very loaded and it's potentially triggering. It fosters turn-taking, which is very important in any conversation, better listening, better hearing, and clarity around each partner's concerns. So you'll both be better equipped to move to win-win solutions. Basically, it slows things down, which is really important in any conversation. So here it is. First, decide on a time limit and divide it in half. And that's the turn that each of you will take. So I would recommend that you decide, you begin with a half an hour time limit, and you set a clock or an alarm so that you don't go on and on for hours. I've never seen conversations turn more effective or productive when they become marathons. So decide a time limit, and then each of you will have a turn that takes half the time. Now, partner number one holds an object. The TV remote control is ideal. And the reason that partner holds the object is that it punctuates the fact that he has the floor. When holding this object, he's the only one with the power of speech. Partner number two is now the only one with the power of listening. And I encourage the use of an object because couples so often interrupt each other and it's not really clear. One person trails off. They kind of cue their partner, and the partner takes the cue, goes off into left field, and hijacks the conversation. So this object makes it very clear that I'm the one holding. The remote is great. It's symbolically the one who has control holds the remote. The one who's holding the remote is the one who has the floor. Then partner number one begins by stating a complaint or a concern about a subject needing to be resolved, describing it in a few paragraphs. This is very important because often in my experience, particularly women, I don't want to sound sexist here, but because of the way women's brains are wired for connection and everything being related to everything else, they will often cascade issues and throw in everything but the kitchen sink because it all feels remotely connected. What I encourage the first partner to do is to state a complaint succinctly in a few paragraphs. Try not to, tack on a million different complaints. If you are citing a few different things, make sure you are clear about it, how it all relates to your complaint, if there's different examples of that complaint. So you state the complaint of concern, and then partner number one goes on to convey the request that he's making of his partner. In other words, what he wants or needs from her around this issue. And what I say to people is that embedded in every complaint is a veiled request. You may not be aware of it, but usually inside somewhere there is something that you are asking for or you need. So try to get in touch with what is it that I am wanting and state the request. It's what he wants or needs from her around this issue. Then when partner number one feels finished, he hands the remote over to partner number two. And that's an important point because often, as I said, people in conversations interrupt each other. They hijack the conversation. I know I'm guilty of this because I come from a family where that was just the way we talked. We're from New York and we were loud and fast, but it's not a good way of communicating. So wait until partner number one, that partner indicates he is finished. He's the one who decides. Then he hands the remote over to partner number two. Okay. Now, partner number two then restates in her own words what she has understood the concern or the complaint and the request to be. And the in her own words is the important part there. The point of this exercise is not for you each to just parrot each other and repeat back verbatim what you heard your partner said, what you've heard them say, because that does not indicate that you've taken anything in, that you've understood something, that you've internalized it. So what I encourage partner number two to do is to paraphrase in your own words what she has understood the concern or complaint and the request to be. And here's the thing. Partner number two focuses on partner number one's feelings, his feelings and needs. Not her own. So this is not an opportunity to, through the back door, just be talking, when you are partner number two, to be talking about what you need, what you want, or what your impression is. One of the very hard things about this exercise and the elegance of it is that it forces each partner to recognize that either right now it's my turn, I have the floor, or right now it's my partner's turn. And when it's my partner's turn, I am attending to them. I am suspending my own reality around this issue. I'm holding it for later because we cannot talk about both at the same time. That's what degrades conversations. So partner number two focuses on his feelings and needs, and she restates them in her own words. And I just lost my screen here. Don't know what happened with my screen on my... she then states them in her own words and then hands the remote over to him, giving him back the floor. Now, at this point, now that I've lost my screen, my computer is doing this funny new thing where it turns off. I think it's, oh, there it is. It's trying to save energy, but it just makes me very annoyed. It's back. What I would like to do now before I move on to the rest of the exercise is give you some information about a tool that will help you in this. If you would like more key tips and tools fostering better communication, a great thing to do would be to get my first book or ebook. It's called I'm Talking, Are You Listening? Fix Communication Problems with Your Partner in No Time Flat. You can find it on the Amazon store page of my website, susanlager.com, or directly through Amazon. It's chock filled with ideas and tools that I've developed over my many years of private practice specializing in couples therapy. And these tips and tools all work. I'm mentioning it now because it's directly related to this subject. It's all about key things that you need to know about communication. And one of the things I talk about in that book is not hijacking the conversation. And this is an exercise that helps you avoid hijacking. So now, enough of our commercial, back to our show. If you are just tuning in, I've been sharing a key tool for better communication, fostering turn-taking, clarity, and listening. Partner number one has had his turn, and partner number two has reflected back what she's heard and understood, not misunderstood, what she hopefully has understood. Now, if partner number one feels that she has understood him, that his partner has understood him, he probably experiences what we call a soothing moment. It's a gut feeling of relief and feeling heard. It's an actual visceral experience in your gut. It's like, yeah, you got it. You understood me. And you literally feel it in your gut. If this has happened, he tells her she's gotten it right. And then he hands the remote back to her for her turn to begin. But if he feels that she missed or misconstrued something, then his turn is not over. He restates his concern or complaint and his request, and they repeat the same sequence with her reflecting back what she's heard back and forth until he has that moment, that soothing moment of feeling understood. And when he feels that she's gotten it right, yes, you understood, yes, that's exactly what I said, you didn't miss anything, then his turn is over and her turn begins. So that's half of it. When it's time for partner number two to take her turn, she takes the remote and she does the same thing. She states her concern or her request in a few paragraphs, and she tries to be succinct. She gets to the point. She doesn't go on and on and on because you lose your partner when you go on and on and on. Believe me, I know this. I've lost my husband on many occasions because I tend to go on and on. So she states her concern or complaint in a few paragraphs and her request. And the sequence is the same as before. When she's finished, she indicates that she is done, that she said what she wants to say, and she stated her request. And then she hands the remote over back to him, partner number one. And then he does the same thing that she did with him. He reflects back his understanding of what she said until she too feels understood and heard. And again, if he reflects it back in a way where she feels like, well, you didn't really get it, or you missed some stuff, or you completely misconstrued some stuff, she takes the remote back and she restates her concern or her complaint, and she restates her request. And then when she's done again, she hands the remote back to him. And he then does the same thing he tried to do the first time. He reiterates again in his own words. He's not parroting her words. He reiterates in his own words what he has understood her complaint or request to be, and what her request is. And again, if she has what we call a soothing moment, she will have that aha moment that, yes, you got it. That's it, exactly. Then her turn is over. Now, both partners now take a break. And this is important, because if you notice, you haven't solved the problem. This is not about coming yet to a solution. But both partners take a break. And I recommend, take a 15-minute break, a timeout, walk around, take some deep breaths, collect yourself. And for each of you to reflect on what's been said and understood. And now you reconvene, and now you explore possible solutions, which ideally incorporate as fully as possible each partner's concerns. Now, the reason why this exercise is devised this way is that if you know anything about negotiation language, you know that people cannot come to reasonable solutions if they don't understand each other's concerns. And what the average couple does, or people do in relationships, is they start out at the end point. They start saying, well, I want to go to Belize. They're talking about vacation, for instance, and the other partner says, no, I want to go to Switzerland. You have nowhere to go with the final point of Belize or Switzerland. But if partner number one starts out and says, well, on this vacation, I'm thinking about Belize because I would like to be in a very exotic place with mountains and tropical weather. I'd like it to be something that's very out of the norm for us. Okay, so those are the concerns. And then the other partner, instead of just saying Switzerland, the other partner could say, well, I'm thinking Switzerland because I would like a place that has very good food, that's kind of exotic and out of the way, and that's very gentle. Okay? Now that you've expressed those concerns, you are more likely to be able to find a solution that incorporates exotic and gentle with good food with mountains and tropical weather. Then if you started at the end point and said, I want to go to Belize, no, I want to go to Switzerland, you cannot go anywhere if you start out at the end point. So if you come away from this program with any one understanding, that would be really critical, that don't start at the end. Voice your concerns. So now through this exercise, hopefully you've put your concerns and your requests on the table. Now you've both taken a break. You've reflected on what's been said and understood. And now you're better positioned to explore possible solutions, which ideally, again, incorporate as fully as possible each partner's concerns. And again, if you are looking at negotiation language and negotiation strategies, ideally you explore alternate solutions. So given your concerns and my concerns, we might do this, or we could do that, or we could do that. You identify the different possible solutions that are as inclusive as possible of each of your concerns. Then see if you can decide on the best possible one. And when you do that, this is what we call a success, because it's a win-win. Everybody gets at least some part of what they want. And if no clear solution emerges, explore other solutions. And that's where compromise is really important, because compromise means nobody gets everything that they want. Everybody gives up, each person gives something up in toward the greater good of coming to center and everybody getting a little bit of what they want. And sometimes a compromise, often a compromise is the best that you can do. Now, let's say you cannot compromise. One of you wants a horse, the next pet to be a horse. The other one wants a dog. There's no way to compromise between a horse and a dog. I haven't yet seen a hybrid that incorporates both. So ideally what you would do in that circumstance, if you cannot come to a compromise solution, is sometimes the alternative is just to take turns. Okay, honey, this time we get the horse, next time we get the dog. Okay? This time we go to an action movie, next time we go to an indie movie. That sometimes is the best that you can do, the turn-taking. But what you are moving toward is a sense of fairness and a sense of each person being heard and feeling understood and considered, because that is the meat and potatoes of good relationships, where you make room for each other. So what I would like you to do is to try this exercise with any partner and see what happens. And by the way, when I work with couples, I invite them, when they're on their own and I'm not there mediating, I invite them to start with a low-risk subject. So something where nobody's hugely invested, it's not likely to cause World War III. Generally when you're practicing something, start easy. Don't try to run before you walk. Don't run marathons before, you jog. Start with something that feels manageable and is less likely to be triggering. And then I would encourage you to move toward higher risk subjects. And I say risk because something where there's more invested, something that feels a little bit potentially more loaded, where you feel more likely to get into a tough spot with each other. So you will do better if you start in an easier place. And what I would say is that if you practice this, you will do better. Recognize that, and I say this to couples all the time, this is not a natural way of speaking, but it can become more part of your repertoire with practice. You can learn with practice to take turns, to listen, to let your partner get to the end of their paragraph. I'm still working on that. Maybe by the time I'm 80, I'll get that one down. To let your partner get to the end of the paragraph and to listen with empathy, trying to get into your partner's shoes, not to be focusing on your own position. Positions can really be deadly in conversations. They create intractable situations. You will get better with it. It can become more second nature. But in the meantime, until with practice it becomes more second nature, recognize that this is a contrived exercise. It's an exercise, and it's not going to feel natural, but it's really okay when you're facing a situation that feels loaded to say, why don't we try the reflective listening exercise? Because I know that if we try to do this the old way, we're gonna really get screwed. And I can tell you that I've worked with couples who come back. They will call me sometimes years after we've stopped working together, and they will say to me, Susan, damned if we don't still use that corny reflective listening exercise. We still use it, and it still works, and we feel safer. we feel safer when we're facing a potentially loaded conversation. So, you know, the feedback really supports it. I know from my own experience working with couples, witnessing what happens, it's generally a much more manageable situation where people feel more understood. So that's it. This was a short show. It was a little tutorial. I would like to thank my listeners, and I have some callers in who obviously are very shy. I get a lot of shy people on this program, but that's okay too. Hopefully you were listening. I would like to thank you for calling in. And again, you can get my book, I'm Talking, Are You Listening? Fix Communication Problems in No Time Flat. That's the name of it. It's on my website store page, or you can get it directly from Amazon. It's loaded with tips and tools for better communication. And I think you'll enjoy it. My books are little, they're kind of cheeky little workbooks that they're very humorous. They're not serious, but they are filled with information. So don't be fooled by the fact that it's, you know, these books are a little funny. So I'd recommend that you get that. And let's see, my next episode will be Wednesday, November 18th, okay, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I have not yet decided on subject, but it will be announced, and whether or not I will have a guest. Okay, so take care. Stay warm. I'm in New England. It's already freezing here, but we love it. And try the exercise and see what happens. So long.